Thank you, Ian, for leading those songs, and I appreciate your presence this evening as we have an opportunity to sing and pray and study God's Word together during this week. I know that there are a lot of things that are often planned during the week, and you've chosen those spiritual things, and for that I'm greatly appreciative. I knew I ate a lot of Mexican food, but I didn't realize it was that much. First time I've had trouble all week with the microphone. The Millers fed me some Mexican food this evening, along with the Gulls and the Hicks and the Wisdoms. And who was our birthday guest? Linda was there, and we had a good visit. Whenever there's a gospel meeting, it's also an opportunity for visiting with brethren, and that is always an encouragement to me, and we enjoy being with them this evening. Thank you, Ian, for leading those songs, and when I heard the children singing this evening, it gave me encouragement, because a lot of times we wonder about the church of the future, and so there you are right there, and they'll keep singing and serving the Lord, and they'll grow up and be faithful Christians, and that's an encouraging thing to hear. When I was growing up at home, I was the last of eight children. My older brothers and sisters, we were spread out by several years, but I had a brother that was 18 months older than I am, and then another brother that's about 7 years older, and so as I got on up in years, there were at least three of us at home for a while. And a lot of times, we would be at home, me and my other two brothers, and we would be doing something we shouldn't be doing. And my dad would come along and he'd say, "Boys, you need to stop your foolishness." That was one of the several expressions that he had. And when he passed away earlier this year, I sat down with some of my family members and we wrote down those dad-isms. And maybe your father or your mother had those statements that they would say to you over and over again. And they are very good statements, important statements, statements of value. And that was one that he would say. He would say, "Boys, quit your foolishness." This evening, I want to consider a statement. We're going to look later at a statement that Saul makes to David when he says, "I have played the fool." When Dad would say to us, "Boys, you need to quit your foolishness," he was talking about activity that we were engaged in where we weren't thinking, we weren't reasoning, we weren't using our brain. I'll give you a few examples. One, for example, would be that we would be throwing a hard baseball inside the living room. So you've got your TV that could break, you've got glass pictures, you've got other kinds of valuables around, and Dad knows that sometimes you miss the ball when it's thrown to you or something along those lines, and he's thinking ahead. He's basing that on wisdom and knowledge and experience, and you need to quit your foolishness. Or it might be, we were never allowed to run in the house. We were never allowed to run around like a bunch of hooligans or monkeys because he knew that we would knock something over, something that maybe they worked hard to pay for. And here we were just being silly and knock it over and break it, and that's no consequence to us, but it would be to them, and so it would be something like that. I remember on another occasion, Dad always had a garden, and he would send us out there to pull weeds or to do something out in the garden, and after about 30 minutes, we stopped working, and we were throwing rocks at each other. He would come out and say, "Boys, you need to stop your foolishness, because you can get hit with a rock, and that can be serious. You can put an eye out. You can hurt somebody. You need to stop that." One time, we were doing some painting, and inside the house, you got a 4-inch brush, and you dip it down in the paint, and you know, for a few minutes there, you're painting on the wall. Then after a while, you dip it down there, and you're slinging it on your brother. "Boys, you need to stop your foolishness." And he was the one that would have to clean that up. It's hard enough to clean up if you're just painting the way you're supposed to paint, if you've done that before. That's hard enough cleaning up as it is, without having to clean up what's been slung all over something else. And so I appreciate him instilling that in us. You've got to think and reason. And that didn't mean we never had fun. We had fun, but you weren't allowed to do something that was foolish in nature that is going to cause a problem. This evening, I want us to consider this concept of foolishness and hopefully make some applications for us today. What is foolishness? When we act without good sense, we're not using the mind and the thinking that God gives us. Turn with me to a familiar passage in Romans chapter 12 and verse 1, where Paul writes about presenting our bodies as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service. If you have a note in the margin of your Bible, it says reasonable or according to reason. The Greek word translated spiritual there is logikos, from which we get the English word logical. Our spiritual service to God is literally a reasonable service. Service to God that comes from the mind. And we talk a lot about Bible authority. And our mind needs to match up with what God's Word says. And that's the type of service that He wants us to give Him. But foolishness is not using that logical reason and sense. Where does sense or reason come from? God gives us a mind and He expects us to use it. Well, number one, it comes when our mind is educated by God's Word. Turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 22, where Jeremiah says that God's people of the day were foolish. And let's see why they were foolish. What was it about them? Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 22, "My people are foolish, they know me not." And so not having the knowledge that we need to have leads to foolishness. They are sottish children. They have no understanding. They are wise to do evil, but to do good they have no knowledge. Be not foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. Ephesians 5:17 in the American Standard Version. Some versions say, be not ignorant, or be not foolish, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. So it comes, number one, from knowledge, and then number two, experience. We take that knowledge and combine it with experience, and that gives us wisdom. But when we lack knowledge and when we lack experience, we're going to do foolish things. And so we're familiar with Hebrews 5:14. Solid food, it's for full-grown or mature men, even those who by reason of use have their senses, look at this, their senses exercised to discern good and evil. So now our senses are educated by God's Word, and then our senses, we're putting it to work, we're exercising it, we're making decisions. God expects us to do those things. However, we read in God's Word that some people do not use the good sense that God gives them. Turn with me to Romans chapter 1 and verse 21. We talked last night about the Roman Emperor Nero and the wicked environment of Rome. And Paul talks about that world and the Gentile world in Romans chapter 1. And he talks about individuals who do not have God in their life. And we're going to look at that in just a moment later on in the lesson. But in Romans chapter 1, look at how Paul describes him in verse 21. Because that knowing God, that they can know that there is a God, verse 20, from the things that are made. Design in the universe points to a designer. Creation points to a creator. And so verse 20, we can see that there is design, but because that knowing God, they glorified Him not as God, neither gave thanks, but became vain in their reasonings, and their, look at this, their senseless heart was darkened. They're not going to use their senses to understand that there is a God and live properly. And so starting in verse 26 to the end of the chapter, we have a whole host of sins, and we'll come back to that in a minute, but their senseless heart some people will not use the good sense that God gives them. Some people do not use the good reason that God gives them. If you turn over to 2 Peter chapter 2 and verse 2, the passage there, the whole chapter is about false teachers and false prophets. They're described as creatures without reason. Creatures without reason, also in Jude verse 10. Well, that doesn't mean that they were walking around with a hole in their head and no brains there. They are false teachers that are not using the sense and the reason that God gives them to teach other people the right way. They're just self-serving. But they're described as creatures without reason. So this evening, I want us to consider this matter that we're going to get to in a minute, where Saul says to David, "I have played the fool." You know, foolishness, turn with me to Mark chapter 7 and verse 22. It's interesting that this verse lists sins that we would all recognize very quickly as things that we shouldn't do. But let me ask you this. What about foolishness? In Mark chapter 7 and verse 22, Jesus is talking about what comes from within the heart. It's not the dirt on our hands that's the problem, but our heart. And he starts explaining some things that defile the man. From within, out of the heart of men, evil thoughts proceed: fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, railing, pride, and then foolishness. Have we ever thought about that? We know what murder is. I saw today on the news an individual who, he was described as the one who's murdered the most in America. Maybe you saw that, up to about 90 murders. They were featuring him today. Well, I would never murder, and I would never commit fornication or adultery or covet or engage in deceit or wickedness or lasciviousness or railing or pride. But what about that very last one? Have I ever done anything that was foolish? I think we could all raise our hand. I have. Have we done something that's foolish? It takes a lot to admit that we've done something that's foolish. There have been times when I've been working on the car, and I'm going to get this thing fixed, and I go out there and I tear into it, and I break this, and I get hurt doing this, and I break that, and I run to AutoZone and get something, bring it back, I break that, and go through that for, you know, all day. And then I've got to call my brother, and I've got to admit to him, I've wasted money, I've broken things, I've gotten hurt. And he says, "Well, Chris, this is what you need to do." It's hard to admit that we've done something foolish, okay? But what's interesting is, in the Old Testament, I see some candid admissions of individuals who were willing to do that. Turn with me to Numbers chapter 12. Do you remember when Aaron and Miriam, brother and sister of Moses, they didn't like who he had married? He had married a Cushite woman, and they didn't like the fact that God was speaking to him as a prophet. And so there's probably some envy and jealousy. It's like what we looked at the other night about Korah. And there's some envy and jealousy. And they want to be in the limelight like Moses is. And so they're complaining and they're murmuring. And God gets them off to the side and says that they're not acting right. And I'm going to speak with my servant Moses face to face. And verse 9, the anger of Jehovah was kindled against them, Aaron and Miriam. And he departed, and the cloud removed from over the tent, and behold, Miriam was leprous, as white as snow. And Aaron looked upon Miriam, and behold, she was leprous. And Aaron said unto Moses, "O my Lord, lay not, I pray thee, sin upon us, for we have done foolishly, and for that we have sinned." What a candid admission. It takes some humility to say that. But why? There was no reason for them to be envious and jealous. Moses was God's called servant, and Aaron was even called to help him and be a spokesman for him. There's no good sense and reason to be acting this way. And Aaron finally realized it. And I want you to notice something in verse 11. Notice, and you're going to see this tonight. Notice how foolishness is connected with sin. We're not just simply talking about making a few mistakes and doing a few little things of no consequence. We're talking about acting foolishly in a way that causes us to be in a wrong relationship with God. God is angry, and Miriam has just broken out with leprosy. This is a serious thing. We're going to look at some situations this evening where we have played the fool. And I want us to realize that we're talking about a serious relationship with God. But notice that candid admission. Here's the second one. Turn with me to 1 Chronicles chapter 21 and verse 8. You remember the text there where we're told that Satan moved David to number Israel. Okay? And even David's own general said, David, please don't do that. And the problem was not counting soldiers. That's not the problem. The problem was, in numbering Israel, it makes it look like we're depending upon physical strength and physical numbers to win our battles, and we don't really need God. Okay? So David realized that he shouldn't have done that. And the reason why it was foolish was, from the time, even before slaying Goliath, David said, you know, I killed the bear and I killed the lion and the Lord helped me to do all that. The Lord had always helped David win his battles. There's no reason to count any soldiers. But on this occasion, Satan had moved him to do that, and David allowed that. And notice what we find in 1 Chronicles 21, 7. And God was displeased with this thing, therefore he smote Israel. And David said unto God, I have sinned greatly in that I have done this thing, but now put away, I beseech thee, the iniquity of thy servant, for I have done very foolishly. Now that takes a lot of humility and honesty to admit that. And this evening, as we go down through this material, maybe we, and I speak to myself, maybe we from time to time need to honestly and humbly just simply say, I have played the fool. And that's our third statement then. Turn with me to tonight's text where we get this statement from Saul, I have played the fool. In 1 Samuel chapter 26, we're looking at toward the end of Saul's life. Saul's life, for the most part, is really a sad story, isn't it? He was physically head and shoulders above the rest, and physically he was a great person, but spiritually he was just very weak in many kinds of ways. And we come down toward the end of his life, and this is the second time that David had spared his life. He had spared his life at En-Gedi, and here he spares Saul's life at Ziph. He has an opportunity where he could kill Saul, and of course he does it. He always has this attitude of, I'm not going to put forth my hand against the Lord's anointed. I'm just not going to do that. Okay. So it's one of those occasions, and Saul is asleep, and the spear is right by his head, and David could have taken that, or David's general could have taken that and killed Saul, but David says, no, we're not going to do that. And when Saul wakes up, and he and David have this discussion. We'll pick up the reading in verse 17. Saul knew David's voice and said, is this thy voice, my son David? And David said, it is my voice, my lord, O king. And he said, wherefore doth my lord pursue after his servant? For what have I done, or what evil is in my hand? Now therefore, I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant. If it be Jehovah that hath stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if it be the children of men, cursed be they before Jehovah, for they have driven me out this day that I should not cleave unto the inheritance of Jehovah, saying, go serve other gods. Now therefore let not my blood fall to the earth away from the presence of Jehovah, for the king of Israel is come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains. And those words sunk down into Saul's heart, and he said this. Saul said, I have sinned. Return my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my life was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly. And that's right. He had. His whole life was spent in pursuit of David, and there were different opportunities that Saul tried to use to kill David. Do you remember how it all got started? Remember how it all got started back in chapter 18 after David slays Goliath and he comes back and the women are singing his praises? Turn back with me to chapter 18. The text says that Saul was envious of all of that. And that's what is causing the foolish behavior. There's absolutely no reason for this. There's no reason in chapter 18 for Saul to take a spear and try to kill David. And the whole story is that type of thing. There's absolutely no sense or reason for that. David could have been a close companion and a helper of Saul. But because of envy and jealousy, chapter 18 and verse 8, and Saul was very wroth, and this saying displeased him. And he said, "They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom?" And Saul eyed David from that day forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that an evil spirit from God came mightily upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as did day by day, and Saul had his spear in his hand. And Saul cast the spear, for he said, "I will smite David even to the wall." And David avoided out of his presence. And Saul was afraid of David because Jehovah was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed from him and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David, underscore this in your Bible, David behaved himself wisely in all of his ways. Well, how did Saul behave himself? Foolishly, all the way down through the story. And Jehovah was with him. And when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he stood in awe of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, for he went out and came in before them. You remember, if you turn back to chapter 13 and verse 13, even before this matter of David and Goliath, we find that when Saul was fighting the Philistines, Samuel said, "Wait, and I will come and will offer up the sacrifice before going to war." And Saul didn't want to wait. And he offered it up himself. And as a king, he wasn't supposed to do that. And when Samuel shows up, he says, "You have done foolishly." Saul could have been a great king, but chose to act foolishly. "I have played the fool." So this evening, then, let's look at some situations in which I have played the fool. I have played the fool in living my life without God. There are a lot of people in this world, and we need to be careful that we don't become this, but I don't need God. I don't need church. I don't need the Bible. I don't need religion. That's for my parents. That's for my grandparents. I don't need that. And so we're seeing and we're living in a society more and more of where people do not want to have God in their lives. Let's get it out of our schools and let's get it out of our Capitol buildings and let's get it out of anything and any references to God. Let's just get rid of that. Well, you can do that, friend. But you're going to reap the consequence of that. It's foolish behavior. And we know what the Psalm says, right? Psalm 14 and verse 1. "The fool has said in his heart, there is no God." When we live a life without God, when we say, "I don't want God, and I don't want church, and I don't want my kids to grow up in that kind of thing," you have that choice. You can live that way. But that's foolish behavior. And here's why. People who live without God in their lives, turn back with me now to Romans 1:22. What kind of life are they living? Well, they pay their taxes and they drive the speed limit, and they're probably good co-workers and things. But you know what? When you begin to investigate a little bit earlier, people who don't have God in their lives are living miserable lives. There's immorality in their life. There's problem in their life. And so these people, they professed themselves to be wise, but they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God for the likeness of an image of a corruptible man. And they go on to engage in idolatry. Starting in verse 26, we looked at this in a previous lesson. There's homosexuality. And then verses 28 all the way down through verse 32, there's all kinds of sinful things. And if you look at some of those things, they deal with personal and practical things. For example, look at verse 31, covenant breakers. Wouldn't that involve marriage? Is there any problem in our society with regard to marriage and home and family? We read murder earlier. We talked about that, verse 29. Any problem with that in our society? Do you know what the problem is, friends? We talked about this last night, I believe it was. It's not guns. It's people that don't have God in their lives. Listen, we don't need... I hear this all the time, and it's so frustrating. We don't need government programs, government spending, a czar for this and a czar for that, and a special study and a special commission and a secretary. We need God in our lives. You don't have to spend a dime to solve some of this. You get God in their lives, you'll fix it. But we have to spend money and we have to have programs. And you'll hear this all the time. Programs and better education, and we need committees and we need studies and somebody to look at this. No, we need God in our lives. Now, I'm not saying that you might not need something else to help that, but that's the starting point. And when I'm living my life without God, I'm a fool. And that's why we need to be here in this building every week and raise our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Raise them on God and they will live right when they grow up. Our children and our grandchildren. And I know that you're wanting that. I have played the fool when I make a mockery of sin. In Proverbs 14:9, if you'll turn there, the newer versions say, fools mock at sin. Isn't that what's going on in our society? Homosexuality and the transgender and other kinds of things, it's laughed at, it's poked fun of, we redefine it, we say it's not all that bad, we use instead of abomination, we talk about alternative lifestyle and all of that thing. We mock sin in this nation. And when I mock sin, I have played the fool. Look at Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 23. Fools make a sport of sin. You'll see it on the late night comedians. They'll be joking about it. People will promote it. They'll propagate it. They'll popularize it. And what the Bible calls sin and abomination and lawlessness and transgression and wickedness, our society mocks at it. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 23. It is as a sport to a fool to do wickedness. Yeah. It's just fun. It's a game. So why is it then that if I'm making a mockery of sin, and I'm growing up making light of sin, and my friends think it's funny, so I think it's funny. If I do that, why is it that that's foolish? On each of these, we're going to ask the why question. Why? Well, when I sin against God. That's what Joseph said in Genesis 39:9, when Potiphar's wife wanted to have a relationship, sexual relationship. How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? That's why it's foolish. Because what you're doing in sin and what I'm doing in sin is an affront to the Almighty God, and you're going to have to face Him, and I will too. It is senseless to be mocking at sin. We need to be grieved about sin. We need to repent of our sin. We need to be bothered by that enough to change. We don't need to mock it because we're going to have to face God one day. Sin separates us from God, Isaiah 59:2. And sin, all have sinned. Listen, Romans 3:23, all have sinned, and look at this, have fallen short of the glory of God. You're not matching up to God's glorious life that he wants for you. You're not matching up to that. You fall short of that. That's what sin is. In other words, these three passages all relate to God. That's why it's foolishness. Now, we can joke about homosexuality. We can slough off abortion and all kinds of things like that. But you're going to face the creator of the universe one day. That's a serious thing. That's why it's foolish to mock at sin. I have played the fool in refusing to control myself. I want to look at a few examples here in Proverbs. When I don't control my sexual urges, Proverbs chapter 7 and verse 22 talks about the one who goes to the adulterous woman. He's described as a fool. Chapter 14 and verse 17. When I don't control my anger, he that is soon angry will deal foolishly. Look at chapter 18 and verse 6. When I don't control my words, I'm a fool. A fool's lips enter into contention. A fool's mouth is his destruction. And then last of all, chapter 20 and verse 3. When I don't control myself and I find myself fighting and in strife with others, I'm a fool. When I don't control my sexual urges and my anger and my words and my conduct, that's me playing the fool. And you know why? Because look at chapter 27 and verse 3. When I don't control myself, somebody's going to get hurt. I'm going to hurt myself or somebody else or both. When I fly off the handle and lose my temper, when I let the words fly, when I engage in sexual immorality and I don't say no, somebody is going to get hurt. That's why it's foolish behavior. We don't do those things with impunity. Somebody's going to get hurt. And you know what? The times in my life, if I have done something to hurt my wife, Sherry, it was because I didn't watch my words and I hurt her. We hurt people. And I'm sorry for that. And I try to do better with that. We've got to control ourselves. When I don't control myself, when we don't control ourselves, we're playing the fool. And you know about people who let their anger fly and you can't get it back. There's a proverb that says, a whisper separates chief friends. We hurt people when we don't control ourselves. And so Proverbs 27 and verse 3, there are some heavy things like weights and rocks and things like that. There are heavy things. A stone is heavy and sand is weighty. But look at this. A fool's vexation is heavier than they both. It's going to crush you. It's going to crush you. So let's control ourselves. I like this one. Turn with me to Proverbs 26 and verse 11. I have played the fool when I keep repeating my same foolish behavior. Have you ever done something that you wish you hadn't done, but then you find yourself doing it again? Why do we do that? You ever hit your thumb with a hammer? Sure. You ever hit your thumb with a hammer after you've hit your thumb with a hammer? I've done that. Listen, you either need to move your thumb or move the hammer or both. Do something. Don't just keep doing that. But I've done that before. We repeat the same behavior. Some people get into destructive relationships and they just keep doing it. Some people have a destructive behavior. And God, through His providence, gives them a way out, like a way of escape, 1 Corinthians 10, or somebody to help them, sends us somebody to help us. But then we go right back into it. I have played the fool when I just keep repeating those things that are hurting me. Proverbs 26 and verse 11. As a dog that returns to his vomit, so is a fool, look at it, that repeats his folly. Bang, bang, bang. Move your thumb. Now listen, hitting our thumb doesn't have any eternal consequences. It doesn't. But if our behavior is immoral in some way or ungodly in some way, that does affect us eternally. We've got to stop that. And here's why. Look at Galatians 6, verse 7. Here's why. Here's why it's folly to repeat that. God is not mocked. Be not deceived, for God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, what? That shall he also reap. If you have a hammer and your thumb's in the way, it's going to hurt. You reap what you sow. The law of cause and effect. And it will always be that way if your thumb is there with a hammer. And so whether it's our words, our relationships, our plans, our conduct, if we're doing something that's destructive, it's going to be destructive the next time. Albert Einstein, who's described as one of the smartest men that have ever lived, I thought Solomon was, but in our modern history, a lot of times people talk about Albert Einstein. He's credited with this quote, that insanity is repeating the same conduct over and over again, but expecting different results. And I think we think that way sometimes. I'm just going to do the same thing, but it'll be different. No, it's going to be the same. The result's going to be the same. When we're talking about destructive kinds of behavior. So rather than repeating those things, let's stop them. I have played the fool. Let's come to the New Testament now. I've played the fool when I hear Jesus' words, but I don't obey them. The children's song. The foolish man built his house upon the sand. The rains came down and the floods came up and the foolish man's house went splat, right? That is a little children's song like Jesus loved me, but it has great lessons for adults. And the context of that is Jesus said that whoever hears my words and does them not is like a foolish man who built his house upon the sand. I have played the fool when I come into the church building and I hear Jesus' words over and over again and I walk out and I don't do it. I have played the fool. So let's hear and do and obey. And you know why it's foolish? Because the words of Jesus are the very words that save us. There's no other words to save us. These are the words that we need to be hearing and doing. It's the gospel that saves, Romans 1:26. It's the implanted word which is able to save your souls, James 1:21. If we hear these words and don't do them, there's nothing else to save us. I have played the fool in refusing to prepare myself for Jesus' return. If I need to be baptized this evening, I need to do it now. We don't know when the Lord is going to come again. But when I'm given invitation after invitation after invitation and I refuse to do anything about it, and I don't mean just simply coming forward, but maybe as I'm sitting in my seat and I go home and I need to make some changes, every time I refuse to prepare, I have played the fool. Because in the parable of the five wise virgins and the five foolish virgins, they had opportunity to prepare and they chose not to do that. And here's why it's foolish. Because right now, Romans 2:4, 2 Peter 3:8, now's the time where God, through His long suffering, is giving us an opportunity to repent. The goodness and the patience and the long suffering of God, Romans 2:4, leads thee to repentance. This is the only time that we've got. And I have played the fool when I'm squandering right now. Let's not do that. But let's prepare while we have that opportunity. I have played the fool in taking care of my outward life while neglecting my inward soul. Oh, I've got my phone and my cars and my new house and I've got money and I've got credit cards and I've got cable TV and I've got all these material kinds of things. We recall in Luke chapter 12, the rich farmer is called a fool. Not because he built bigger barns. It's great to be good at your business. That wasn't his problem. His problem was he didn't take care of his soul. it was all about the outward physical kinds of things. And so when you look at Luke chapter 12, verse 20, God said unto him, "Thou foolish one, this night is thy soul required of thee, and the things which you have prepared, physical things, whose shall they be? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Took care of everything but what he needed to take care of, his soul. And I'm all for education and having nice things and taking care of our things. But we need to make sure that our soul is right with God. Because Jesus said, if a man gains the whole world and loses his soul, what doth it profit? Matthew 16, 26. In the judgment day, our cars and cable TV and cell phones and all of that won't mean anything. I have played the fool when I've been taking care of my outward life but neglecting my inward soul. And then last of all, and we'll close, I have played the fool in allowing someone, anyone, anything to take me away from the great life in Jesus Christ. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 3 and verse 1. Brethren, good brethren here at Lakeland Hills, those of you who are visiting, I appeal to you to keep being faithful all the way to the end of your life, and don't you ever let anyone take you away from a faithful life in Christ. That's what was happening to these brethren in the churches of Galatia. Paul had been there in Acts 13 and 14, had established these churches. When he leaves, these Judaizing teachers come in behind him and take souls away. They were Jewish Christians who were demanding that you must observe the old law and circumcision in particular in order to be saved. So it was a combination of the gospel plus the old law. When we know that the old law had been done away, they were trying to keep that old law around, and they were pulling people away from Christ. It was called another gospel, chapter 1, verses 6 through 9, and it was damning. And when Paul writes to them, he is so serious about it. Look at chapter 3 and verse 1. "O foolish Galatians, who did bewitch you, before whose eyes Jesus Christ was openly set forth crucified? This only would I learn from you. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" Quit going back and trying to be under the works of the old law. If you do that, chapter 5, 1 through 4, you'll fall from grace. That is a serious thing. But he says, "Oh, foolish Galatians," you're letting someone take you away from Jesus Christ. Look at that word bewitched in verse 1. It means to mesmerize. Where you just stand, wow. These Judaizing teachers, by the way they spoke and by the things that they did, had just mesmerized. Oh, well, okay, we've got to follow the old law. And they were taking good Christians away from Christ. Much of the book of Galatians deals with that then. One insight into what they might have been doing, if you'll turn with me to chapter 4, verse 17. Chapter 4, verse 17. "They zealously seek you in no good way." You can just see it. They come in to the churches of Galatia. Hey, befriend them. You can be in our company. You can be with us. Hey, you guys are smart. You guys are nice. Befriend you. Say nice things about you. They zealously seek you. They're trying to get you on their side. And you foolish Galatians have fallen for it. And if you're not careful, you're going to lose your soul. I have played the fool when I let somebody do that. And here's why. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 8, "Godliness has the promise of the life that now is and that which is to come." The Christian life is the absolute best life to live. Don't let anyone or anything take you away from that. It's foolish. It's senseless. It's senseless to throw away heaven. You're going to throw away heaven for what this person is wanting you to do. That's senseless.
And yet, people will do it.
Do you know of any member of the church right now? Can you name a member of the church that has allowed someone or something to take them away from Christ? I can. It's sad. We don't like to talk about it. But it's real. And I have played the fool when I've let somebody do that. Oh, foolish Galatians. And we let people bewitch us. We let people... Oh, wow. Yeah, that's interesting. Some false doctrine that sounds impressive. Some false doctrine, some personality that's dynamic and popular. Wow. We stop reading our Bible. We stop searching the Scriptures. We stop proving all things. We stop examining the Scriptures to see if these things are so... We just sit there and just soak it all in, and we find ourselves being taken away from Christ. It could be worldliness. It could be false doctrine. It could be a bunch of things. But I've played the fool when I've let that happen. So good brethren here at Lakeland Hills and those of you who are visiting, don't let that happen. Stay true to Jesus Christ. Well, as we close, Proverbs 28, verse 26, he that trusts in his own heart, and that's what is going on here. When we live a life without God, when we repeat the same foolish behavior, when we hear Jesus' words but don't obey them, and all the things that we talked about tonight, when we do that, we're just simply trusting in our heart and it's foolish. Let's walk wisely in the Word of God, and we'll be delivered from these worldly things that are around us. And maybe we can take this material and help somebody else with it. You know, when myself and my brothers were throwing the baseball in the house, that was not good. And we did break some things. But this that we're talking about this evening will keep us out of heaven. And throwing rocks and slinging paint, not the best thing. But what we're talking about tonight will keep us out of heaven. Let's act wisely and use the good sense and reason that God gives us. And I know that that's what you want. There may be someone here this evening that needs to begin that wise behavior in coming and obeying Christ. Or if you're a child of God and you need to come back, you realize, I have played the fool. I need to come back. We would encourage you to do that. We know what the devil is up to. We know he doesn't want us to use the good minds and sense that God gives us. But we're not going to do that. We're going to go out this week and we're going to live wisely. And if we can encourage you to do that this evening, why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?